الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الإنسان ما غرك بربك الكريم الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك كلا بل تكذبون بالدين. Learned scholars, brothers in Islam, young colleagues, the internet, the microphone, the amplifying systems, satellite communication, digital TV, electronic appliances, the mobile phone, the microchip, the internet, human cloning, are a list of terminologies, or in the layman's tongue, buzzwords, by which the human being, if given the opportunity, would readily boast about his progress in the 2 millenniums that have gone past. He would provide a list of terms, a list of appliances, a list of technical terminologies by which he would hold up his head high, push his chest out, and claim that now he has provided the human species with the best possible lifestyle or life that any time of human civilization has had. He would claim that I have now provided the human being with such a fast lifestyle that he is able to undertake those responsibilities within a 24-hour schedule and carry them out with the greatest of speeds, that only 20 years ago or even a decade ago it would take the normal human being days to do. He now claims that a medical physician in the University College of Los Angeles is able to diagnose an illness for a patient who is in the hospital of Melbourne and Sydney. He is able to claim now how and to what degree volcanoes will erupt. He is now able to claim the degree and size of any earthquake. In fact, he is now even willing to mess around, to interfere with the weather system, wanting to control the rain cycle. Scientists in America are conducting experiments of those states which are prone to floods, which are prone to heavy winds, which are prone to typhoids and other weather patterns, by sending balloons in them, studying the measurements of how they actually measure these things and wanting to control it, trying to attempt to recycle the cycle of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the claim. And nowadays, we in this room today, or in this mosque today, If we were to undertake a survey of those people who are actually aware of what progress has been made and who is actually up to date with it, we would hardly find a person within this mosque who is able to claim that he is hands-on every single element of progress that human civilization has made. For some of us, the computer screen is an enemy. It's a daunting task. The keyboard appears like as the shaitan, that we are scared to approach it. Yet any new announcement, any new medical announcement that is made, whether it's through the media, radio, newspaper, television, satellite TV, etc., or from word to word, one physician to another physician, we will readily accept it. Yes, human being can achieve this. Human cloning, yes, human being can achieve this now. Why? There is a German philosopher by the name of Heisenberg. And he states, human being in their cycle of life come to a situation which is known as thrownness. Like I'm sitting on this chair now. You come on this throne, a plateau in your life where you stop thinking, stop questioning. What's going on around you? What is it? Where am I going? Where is human civilization going? Does it have an objective in life? Does it have an aim, a goal? And how far, if it has deviated from this goal, to what extent has this deviated? Which factors have caused this deviation? It ceases, human intelligence ceases to question. It accepts the situation it is. It accepts whatever is thrown at them. A 20th century writer by the name of Arthur Kessler, writes his work on human behavior. And he says, this human scientist have trained this guy so good. It's like a rat in his cage who was able to pull a lever which he could not do previously before this training procedure came about. He pulls this lever and gets this seed, which is its food for it. In the same way, scientists have studied deep psychological study of the human brain and able to manipulate it, make it think in a certain way. And this he calls behavioralism. Study the behavior of human beings and make this human being, by the form of media and advertising, by the form of glossy covers, by the form vehicles of buzzwords, comfortable ride, extremely economic. This is words. And the British are the best at this. No offense to South Africans. Huh? I know your people of grateful intelligence. But the British are the best at this. Give everything a word. Describe it in a few terms. This dictates or gives the impression of the ability of that person to give a sound bite to any talk, any lecture, any presentation, any discovery. Groundbreaking discovery. Human achievement at all time high. So already the words are playing with your mind. So Arthur Kessler in this book, Behavior of the Human Being, is governed by this. Psychologists have studied it. If you look at the American advertising system or the Western media advertising system, the main employees of the system are people with PhDs in psychology. Psyche is the Greek word, your intelligence. How to control it, grasp it, take it in. And then they're not really bothered which religion this person subscribed to. Because the fundamental essence here that the world system is going within the direction is this guy is living for the world. I, me and myself here and now. In hiya illa hayatuna dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin. Many of prophets' communities said, what is this guy telling you? He's a prophet. Nah, he just wants superiority, some street cred, some community status within yourselves. Hayhata, hayhata limatu. What this guy is promising you, it's very far, very far. The only worldview that we should adopt as the communities of past prophets had held is in hiya illa hayatuna dunya. We only live for this world. Namut, we die. We live, we die. Finish. This is the cycle. Life and death, life and death, life and death. Oma nahnu bimab'uthin. There is no such thing as life after death. This is the cycle that human beings are coming into. The majority of the people of the 6 billion plus human civilization on the face of this earth subscribe to this belief. God is in one corner now. It's reduced to a Sunday or a Saturday when the lights go off and you can't do any work. So don't go to a Jewish doctor if you have a heart attack on a Saturday. This is the cycle of life now. And this scientist, this Arthur Kessler, who talks about this. Read the work, The Ghost in the Machine. Talks about behaviors, how this human being's brain is being controlled. And the cycle is going the extreme opposite to what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has telling us in the Quran. These buzzwords that I mentioned earlier on. We would believe now, nowadays scientists have the projection that by 2017 the human being will be landing on Mars. And for that we have created this bionic man. Better than he was before, faster than he was before, more powerful than he was before. And we are going to test this robot, we're going to send him on Mars. And then within 50 years, we'll be able to send space probes to other ends of other solar systems, which human civilization has not discovered yet. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith says, the human life is here. His ambitions are here. He's taking on too much. His indigestion system, his metabolism is going to go haywire. Or in the language of computers, his mind's going to go crash. The system's going to go crash. And he will not know what's going on. Because he is going outside the method that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has set for him. Allama Razi Rahmatullahi Alayh, a great scholar of the 7th century, he died in the year 604 or 1206 according to the Christian calendar. He wrote a great voluminous work on tafsir. It's popularly known as Tafsir Imam Razi. His real name is Mafatihul Ghaib. Under the verse, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. Surah Nur, where Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala discusses the absolvement of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. The verse of light, proofs of the oneness of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and the attitudes and the devotion and the love of the companions for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This within a sound bite is the summary of Surah Nur. So within the verse of light, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has a small one clause, Nurun ala Nur. That the example of Allah Tabarak is Nurun ala Nur. And commentators are baffled in the explanation of this. What Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Nur is, inshallah we will find out in paradise. But within that verse, Imam Razi rahmatullahi alayhi states, within this is the paradigm and the framework, the intellectual framework by which human being should look at the world. He should conduct his exercises and his researches and his academic inquiries in that. So, Nurun ala Nur, i.e. Wahyun ala Aqlin. Revelation upon intelligence. The human being has been given an intelligence in many a place. In fact, within the Isha Salat we heard today. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَذَكَّرُونَ إِنَّ عَنْزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْكِلُونَ. We have revealed upon you this Quran in the Arabic medium so that you may use your intelligence. Modern day neurologists would say that the human brain functions on three different levels. Its function. Not its organism and how it's separated into the right brain and the left brain and the cortex, etc. But human brain functions at three different levels. And the very first brain, it says this is the reptilian brain. If you look at the back of the Oxford Dictionary, you have these terminologies of how civilization started. We had the dinosaur age and the prehistoric age, as if people were alive to see all this then. We had the Jurassic Park and etc. And the reptilian brain, this terminology comes from there. the reptilian brain or the R stem. And one of the modes of human behavior is the R stem, functions from the R stem. And this controls our anger, our animalistic behavior. If somebody, for example, was to abuse you, you'd give him double whack back. How dare you? Somebody was to punch you, then you'd give him the best you've got. This is what is a reactionary action. That you don't think of the consequences. You just do it. It's a reaction. It's like if somebody was to put a hand in front of me, not my hand, by reaction would go up to protect my eyes. It's what is called a reactionary action. Like if you turn these lights off, the volition in the eyes, as the lights were closed and come back up, then the eyes, the pupils would become larger again. This is controlled by the reptilian brain, the R stem. And some humans behave at this level. Anything they do is just a reaction to something. No pondering, contemplation or reflection upon anything. And the next stem, the next level of human behavior is known as the midbrain. This is where emotions are coming from. Love, hate, enmity, etc. This is, and we share this midbrain, animals have this midbrain as well, the primates. A Yemeni scholar wrote a work, Fadlul Kilab ala kathirin mimma yalbasu thiyab. Fadlul Kilab, the superiority of dogs over many of the people who wear clothes. Fadlul Kilab ala kathirin mimma yalbasu thiyab. And this book is a short article, an epistle, a risala. And he discusses dogs and how they behave, etc. How they are so devoutness, full of devoutness for their master, obedient. And we share this midbrain with the primates. Animals like dogs. Love and emotion and devotion, devoutness, obedience. And some human beings just behave on this level. So either you're an emotional being, or you're a neurotic wreck. Neurosis. If you go to a psychologist today, and I tried this exercise, one of my students is a psychologist. And this is a very interesting thing. Before, alhamdulillah, he embraced Islam. Before he embraced Islam and after he embraced Islam, listen to this answer. Don't forget where we were. We're still discussing the human brain. I asked this psychologist, what would you say if a Muslim came up to you or a human being came up to you and said, I have a problem. And that problem is that I wake up at night and I'm worried what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is going to do to me after I go in my grave. I fear the consequences of my actions. And that is leading me to cry and weep. He says, well, I'll probably take my pad out and say, you're a psychotic neurosis. You got psychotic neurosis. That is your mental. That very same thing that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala encourages, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, that tear which sheds out of fear of Allah, that person will be granted the shadow of the throne of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. In today's modern language, that person is a psychotic neurosis. He's mental. He's goner. He's a goner. And after he embraced Islam, I sent somebody else. I didn't ask myself. I sent somebody, go and ask him now. And what would a person do if he's out of fearful of his consequences of his actions, he starts crying. He says, that is the object of life. أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَىٰ نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّي. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when he opens the heart of somebody, then he is on the nur, a spiritual light of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. A spiritual light. And that Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, this great scholar, died in the year 179 Hijri. He says, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ بِكَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَاتِ. إنما هو نور يجعله الله في قلب المؤمن. That knowledge is not the recitation of one hadith upon another hadith, or one Quranic verse upon another Quranic verse, or one tafsir after another tafsir. Real knowledge and education that a human being has received is indeed spiritual nur that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala lodges in the depths of his heart. نور يجعله الله في قلب المؤمن. With this nur, he looks at this world, because now he has Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And there's an example of this, is the case of this psychologist. So this is the second level of behavior. That this human being is an emotional being. He cries, he laughs, he weeps. And the very third level is where the intelligence is. When people say, I will think upon it. That means he's using that third level. He's not a psychotic neurosis. He's not an emotional wreck. But now he's really thinking with that gift that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given him. And now that paradigm, I started off with the tafsir of Imam Razi on Nurun ala Nur. He says, Wahyun ala Aqlin. He says, this human being, when he thinks with the top part, the top grade of his human intelligence, and when he's thinking, his framework is Nurun ala Nur, i.e. Wahyun ala Aqlin, he is using the Wahi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as the framework of his intellectual inquiry and thinking. Then this person is thinking with the Nur of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he cannot go wrong. He cannot be deviated. But when this human being subtracts from this equation, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala makes him redundant in one corner, then you will see fasad, you will see mischief, you will see corruption on the face of this earth. And if you approach such a people that you have eliminated from your equation Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and now what we see on the face of this earth is corruption and mischief, they will not accept it. The Quran says, وَإِذَا قِيدَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. Wow. The Quran says this. The very beginning verses. And when it is said upon these people, وَإِذَا قِيدَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا, don't spread mischief. Fill earth on the face of this earth. What do they say? What is their response? إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. We are rectifiers. We are addressing what the human civilization needs. This is the latest inquiry. This is the latest research. This is the latest theory. Now human civilization can communicate within minutes from one end of the globe to the other end of the globe. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. So we are just reforming everything. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that these people are the mischievous. Spreading facade and mischief and corruption on the face of this earth. They don't realize this. Why they don't realize this? Because that Nurun ala Nur is not there anymore. They just think this is Nur. Super Nur. Ultra Nur. Independent of anything that the Wahi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In many newspaper reports, oh, Muslims still subscribe to this ancient book. Ancient book. So now everything has to be modern. Even our government in England, modern. New Labour government. What are the suits new? You put the word new in front of something, you describe it as new, and automatically human beings switch off. Ah, this is not, oh, this is something new, I must listen to it. It's the playing of words. In hiya illa asma'un sammaytumuha. What did the yesteryear pagans of Kufar believe? That this was how, this all these gods. System of theocracy they had. Nowadays we have these isms, these theories. These just words. And the human being, because he's not using his rationale, he's not using his logical powers that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has gifted him with and blessed him and bestowed him with, he's lost. That wahi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is lost. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib rahmatullahi alayh was approached by a scholar. This scholar said, oh Hazrat, I have heard anybody who recites Surah Yasin, then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will give him the reward for reciting the whole of the Quran on 7 complete times. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi said, you are right, you are wrong. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, for the recitation of the whole of Surah Yasin just once, is willing to give that reciter 10 times complete reward of the Holy Quran. So this scholar, not to test Hazrat, but just out of inquiry, how is this possible? Let's match this here. Reciting Surah Yasin once, 5 minutes, 7 minutes, according to the speed of your recitation. And reciting the whole of the Quran, a normal human being reciting the Quran, one juz would approximately take him 20 minutes. An hour, three juz, if he continuously recited the Quran, it would take him 10 hours to completely recite the Quran. 100 hours for 10 complete Qurans. So how is 100 hours of reciting the Quran equivalent to 5 minutes recitation of the Quran? Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani was posed with this question. Hazrat gave two answers. He says, the Quran itself says, Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grants reward multiple whomever he wishes. He says, the real answer here is, I understand the point that you are trying to make here. He says, the answer to your question is that no doubt reciting Surah Yasin is extremely virtuous. But the amount of nur, that when you read the Quran, you get nur inside you. Spiritual nur. You pump yourself with nur. You know, like these boxers pump themselves in with iron. The bodybuilders pump themselves in, I'm going pumping iron. I don't know what they say around here, but in England, I'm going to pump some iron in me. That's why Mike Tyson, iron fist. He pumped too much iron in him. So Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi explains that when this human being is reciting the Quran, he is pumping nur inside him. And the amount of nur that he pumps in by reciting Surah Yasin once is not equivalent to the amount of nur he pumps in when he recites the whole of the Quran 10 times. And when this human being pumps in this nur, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives him that eyesight. Ittaku firasat al-mu'min fa'innahu yanzuru binurillah. Be careful from the spiritual acumen, the inner eye of the human, because he looks with the nur of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And this nur is acquired from the recitation of the Quran, as we learn from the teachings of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. So we started off from the intelligence. When this human intelligence is supported with revelation, then that intelligence will not deviate. But once it starts deviating, you can make sure that that deviation is because he has forgotten Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And one of the greatest signs that he has forgotten Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is within the verse that I recited, Ya ayyuhal insan ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O human, what has deviated you, deluded you from your creator? And to remind him of his creator, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala takes him back to his psychotic stage. Allazi khalaqaka, who created you, fasawwaka, in just proportion, fa'adalaka, in appropriate measure, fi ayyi suratin ma sha'a rakkabak, in whichever form he willed, he put you together, constructed you. A poet says that about this human being, when he's a state, within, he's a fetus, within the womb of the mother, so ghazaytani fil hasha. Gazaytani fil hasha, wa kuntali qabla walidayya. That, O Allah, you sustained me, provided me with provision, whilst I was in the womb of my mother. Gazaytani fil hasha, wa kuntali qabla walidayya. You were there for me before my parents even cuddled me in their arms. Gazaytani fil hasha wa kuntali qabla walidayya. You were there for me before my parents even looked at me with love-filled eyes. Before my mother took me into her arms and cuddled me. Walawla fadluka lam a'rifin nabiyya. If it was not for your mercy, I would have never have known this Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this human being in this verse that I recited is reminded of his beginning. In many places Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala when he wants to encourage human devotion and obedience, he reminds him of his beginning. Surah Hajj. Go for Hajj. Go for Hajj. Leave your pompous clothes behind. Leave your fashionable language behind. Leave your role within society behind. Come to me as an obedient servant. And before you go there, remember, Ya ayyuhan nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin, the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj, where it describes the human embryological stages. Wherever Allah tabarak wa ta'ala within the Quran wants this human being to attract devotion to him, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has invited him. Look at your beginning. هَلْ أَتَعَى لَلْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ مِنْ نُطْفَةً. Has there not passed a stage within upon the human being when he was not worthy of mention? When he was min nutfa, this drop of semen, which when secreted from the body, that human being becomes impure just by one drop. But this human being is reminded within this verse about his beginning, about his whole creation. And then the question is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala poses, what has deluded you from your Lord? That is the question. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provides the answer as well. Kalla bal tukazzibuna bid-deen. The root problem here, never mind the symptoms. The root problem here is that you have forgotten the hereafter. You just disbelieve it. Within the Quran, it says in Surah Muddassir about the people who will enter hell. Ma salakakum fi saqar? Why did you go in hell? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We didn't pray. We had other things to do. لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. وَلَمْ نَكُمْ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And when these poor, destitute people came back, this was the reaction. You sent him away. I don't have time for you. My time is money. I just don't have it for you. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِدِينَ. And those people who indulge themselves in talks of idol and vanity, we were with them. We were at these great concerts that Michael Wacko or Jacko were doing. Madonna, oh, that face was in my mind even when I went to sleep. Khudu ma'al khaidin. Idol talk. Talks of vain talk. I used to sit there on the pubs, drinking away, or in casinos, gambling away. I was wasting time. This was my lifestyle. Lifestyle. Another buzzword. And the root problem, وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we disbelieved in the day of judgment. So where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reminds us, is look at your beginning. But when this human being does not have revelation within his process of inquisition, process of inquiry, then he starts to create facade and mischief. And let's look at this facade and mischief. As I mentioned earlier on as part of my introduction, the human being has a list of terminologies big as our arms put together to describe his progress over the last two millenniums. But, and we believe this. And we believe this, and we believe this, this view is more cemented by the industry of Hollywood. Those of you who've read on Hollywood will know the history of Hollywood. Hollywood was holy wood. Like holiday was holy day. Then human beings start to get a bit clever and they change that Y to an I. So the holy wood, it was a forest there. Nowadays you see there, those great big silver writing in the great big forest there. And people used to go to this holy wood because they believed those trees to be holy. And they had these pagan beliefs there. Pagan rituals there. And they carried out these pagan beliefs. That's why it was called holy wood. Then they changed the pronunciation, Hollywood. That controlled the minds of human beings, that Hollywood still controls the minds of human beings. And within films such as Star Wars, The Matrix, The Enemy of the State, a showpiece of human progress, how it's used, and human beings Star Trek and stuff, who believe that this person can actually travel from this, on this spaceship from one planet to another. He would believe it. Why? Because progress is so fast. In yesteryear, days gone by, progress still happened. But the fundamental difference of progress in the 1960s to the 1990s or the 21st century is progress was from one generation to another generation. If you ask your great grandfathers or the grandfathers or the fathers or the young parents, progress was from one generation. Nowadays, within one generation, you have that amount of progress which was over five generations. So it's hard to keep up with it. And any garbage that comes out, people believe it. This can happen. Human beings, yes, we can. When the book came out, Star Wars, became a bestseller. And if you actually read it, the storyline, this guy go, this spaceship goes from one planet to another planet, Mars and Earth and Venus, they're loggerheads at each other, fighting with each other, and people believe it. Science fiction has become true fact. People believe it because progress is so fast. Yes, we can, human beings can do that. But that same progress which had deluded the mankind into believing that now he can actually control human beings by creating a robotic man, a bionic man, human cloning, he can actually give. Nowadays, last summer there was a big thing within in England news that human beings, a male person can actually have a baby now. What are we going to do with the females? By attaching this artificial womb outside. How many of us actually want to give birth to a baby? Huh? We have problems with our waistline as it is. It's bad enough paying the bills. Now we have to do the baby work as well. So this human being intelligence now is thinking, yes, I can do this now. I can turn the social principle upon which Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has based human creation upside down. What does Allah describe Fir'aun as? Ala fil ard. Ala fil ard. He's getting a bit too big for his shoes. You know, he thinks he's God now. I'm going to create this human being. Now, first of all, I'll start this debate off by saying this is for medicinal purposes. Medical reason. People need a limb. Okay. What the Islamic viewpoint on this, you can ask the Jamiat or the Ulama here. I'm not a Mufti. So this human being now goes into this. But let's look at the social upheaval. This age that we have passed through, this is the age of progress. Age of progress. The century of progress, as this was known as last century, the century of progress. Human civilization has not progressed so much as it did in the last century. But in that same century of progress, where human knowledge increasing tenfold, internet is doubling every 18 months. Anybody who's bought a computer will know. You buy a computer 6 months down the line, it's an old thing. You know, Bill Gates says he wants to make some money, so he's got some new systems out. And Seattle is buzzing with these discs. North America. So this human being now is thinking, oh, I can do anything I want. But that last century, if you look at the century, from 1900 to 1915, this territory of Africa witnessed the first wars of the 20th century. This was the British Wars over Africa. From 1914 to 1919, you had a First World War, where 1 million people died. 1939 to 1944, you had the Second World War, where Albert Einstein's magical formula of the atomic bomb was actually used on the cities of Hiroshima and Nagasaki in July, and up to 500,000 people died within seconds. They're still debating the figure. And the repercussions of that, that the children are still being deformed 3 generations onwards. The age of progress. Einstein thought he was Einstein. Came up with this magic formula, E equals MC squared, MC2. And then we have the freedom fighters for Angola. the freedom fighters for Algeria, Bosnia, Chechnya, Afghanistan, the Gulf War, Iraq, Iran, the Israel-Palestine situation. And from 69 to 1995, we have the IRA situation in England. They're still debating about that. So within this 20th century, if you read the works of Cohn, E.C. Cohn, Dictionary of Wars, Eckenberg, Dictionary of Battles, 80% of the time of that same century, which is described among scientific articles and books as the age of discovery, in the books on wars and battles, that century is described as the bloodiest century, the whole of civilization, where more blood was shed than any civilization. The age of progress. Look at the defense budgets of many African countries. They will spend more on defense artillery than they will do for food, shelter, and education for them. Why? Because it's scared of its neighbor. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran says, "Man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ard, fakanna qatala an-nasa jami'an." Whoever kills one human being, never mind a nation or a group, or so-called guerrillas, whoever kills one single individual without any cause, he's not committed murder of anybody. Aw fasad, he's not spread any mischief on the face of this earth. It is as though he has wiped out the whole of human civilization. To understand the loss of life, you go into any hospital and just observe the grief and distress and the distraught on the face of a woman who has suffered a miscarriage. Those of us who, our wives have suffered this, how long does it actually take for that woman to mentally adjust again? This is the price of life. And here on the other scale, civilizations are being taken out. Why? Because human intelligence is free of wahi. It forgot the verse, man katala nafsan bi ghairi nafs. Because Quran and the revelation has been taken out of the equation. Now he thinks he is mastermind. This is what happens. That same century of progress is the century which has the most bloodshed out of the 20 millenniums. This is just a social upheaval. And what the repercussions of these wars are. At one level, we have orphan children. We have parents separated from their children. We have people who are destitute now. People who have no wives or husbands or mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers to go home to. That same human being who has delusions of grandeur and progress and advancements, when he is put in comparison to what his achievements has really taken him to, he may have progressed, but has he learned to live as a human being on the face of this earth? Has he learned to live as a human being? That is one area where you can concentrate, the social upheaval. Let's look at the moral degradation as a result of this progress. Shaitan, in the Quran, if you put a CV together of Shaitan, it will be a very interesting one. Godfather Shaitan and his mafia system to delude human being. When Allah tabarak wa ta'ala evicted him from paradise, Shaitan complained to Allah. Oh Allah, I was nice and cozy here in my 5-star accommodation in paradise. And I had everything. I'm going to be sent down there. When am I going to stay? Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, okay, baytuk al-hammam. Your place of residence will be these bathing places. Swimming pools. The sea, the ocean where people go to bathe. Look at European beaches. Ibiza. The capital of hedonism of the world. The Isle of Capri, which is just off Italy. This is the so-called paradise for homosexuals. These places, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this hadith is within the work of Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Islam or Musiqi, Islam and Music. And he says, as part of this hadith, that there are 9 parts to this hadith. And this is, gives you a good understanding of what is happening in the world. He says, where am I going to stay? He says, Filhammam, public bathing places. And his satanic influence is there. Nudity and other behavior. He says, where am I going to pass my time? Where am I going to chill out? So, fil aswaq, in bazaars. Look at Western economies. Study the infrastructure of Western economies. I'm sure it's the same here. That small businesses are being put out of business. The big boys, the multinational companies are taking over, creating big shopping complexes. Why? So people who have to go with these families on a day out on a Sunday. Take your family out. Allah tabarak wa the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, satanic influence. Fil aswaq, this is where shaitan is going to chill out. He's going to spend his time there. The influence will be there. A moral degradation takes place. And those same places where human boasts as progress, advancements. Look at this great, fantastic work of art. The architect is given this great prize. Oh wow, what a design. And the hadith is telling us, fil aswaq, this is where satanic influence is. Stay there too long. Why do we, when we go into Jamaat, have to read the Sari Khalima in bazaars? Then he says, oh Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, I have one important thing to ask you. So what's that? So you have a Quran. When people will read the Quran and put my CV together, they will realize I'm an imposter. And puts shaitan's CV together. وَكَانَ شَيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَزُولًا. He's a wretched person. وَعِدُهُمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ شَيْطَانِ اللَّهِ غُرُورًا. Satanic promise is full of deceit. He's a deceiter. He's a trickster. He's a wretched person. Just to delude mankind. And then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, okay, you want a Quran? I will give you a Quran. Your Quran is Al-Ash'arul Agani. Musical lyrics. Musical verses. Through that medium, human civilization will become deviant. Look at the pop concerts. Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. I don't have time to go into music line. Otherwise, you'd have doubts. Is this guy really a Molano or is this guy a musician? So Allah Ta'ala in this hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, musical lyrics. He says, I need a muazzin. You have a muazzin who's going to chant Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. People are come to you and I don't have control over this person who comes to you. So, okay. Your muazzin will be the musician. Sahibu Ghinain. He will call to your path. If you look at these great people, the so-called great people who go to the musical concerts, people with these bow ties and great suits who are barristers or law people or whatever. We have a Glastonbury festival. International people come there. It's an international crowd. Over 1 million people come there. It's just a place of hedonism. Now people have started bringing drugs. It's young children. So the next generation of people, Satan's already got to them. They're already possessed. And then he complained again, O Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you have a kitab, you have this form of scriptures, you're going to send prophets into this world, they will know what's going to happen, I need something. So you have these satanic cult diagrams that they draw on the floor and nobody can enter this, otherwise you're going to be possessed. The poltergeist. He says, I need a trap. He says, your masa'iduha al-nisa. He says, your trap is going to be women. The pornographic industry within the world is worth $8 billion. There are more pornographic outlets in the United States of America than there are McDonald's. And McDonald's, there are more McDonald's in the United States of America than any other country in the whole of the world. Masa'iduk ash-shaytan al-nisa. So I need a form of speech. Your speech al-kidhb. Lying. Your influences will permeate through that form. He says, I need food. I need my chicken tikka. Kullu hayawanin lam yuskar ismullahi alayhi. every animal upon which the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has not been taken. Your influence will go through that meat. Scientists now say, it's an acknowledged fact, that you are what you eat. That is, he's already telling us this. That every animal upon which the name of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has not been at the time of slaughtering, your influence will permeate. I need a Coca-Cola as well. Shaitan comes, I need a Coca-Cola. Kullu muskir. Kullu muskir. Every intoxicant, every substance by which khamr al kullu muskir or khamr whatever ma khamr al akhra fahu khamr. Qaliluhu ka kathiruhu ka qalilihi. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi narrates that anything that prevents the human being from utilizing his intelligence. If you read medicine, what literally Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has a network of system of roads here that communicate with each other. And when this network starts to have some bumps in it, the road is uneven. That's when alcohol is taking effect. This guy can't drive properly, can't think properly. Satanic influence. Now he doesn't really know whether he's committing adultery, whether he is lying, or he's abusing somebody, he doesn't know. Satanic influences. This is the game Shaitan plays. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained it to us. And when he comes to the hereafter, all this guy is going to come and say, فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. You know, okay. People are just going to turn around. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, you know this great big bad man in this world known as Mr. Shaitan? It was him. You get him. We like to blame other people, you see. You get him. He's just going to turn around and say, فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Don't blame me. I breached your promise. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me. You blame yourself, pal. Don't blame me. The Quran says this. This is a projection of what's going to happen in the hereafter. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given an elaboration, a detailed explanation of what is happening in our age today, how human being is being deviated, deluded from his creator, and people are just laughing away through life. Because this guy is just going to turn around on the day of after, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Don't blame me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. You blame yourself. There was a whole book that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent in this world and told me about me. I was the main character. And he explained in detail what was going to happen. That this is the moral degradation of society. And we could go on. Please tell me when you get bored. So you believe in taking the juice out of people, huh? So that's why you feed them first. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in this hadith, this is the moral degradation, the moral picture. You could talk on each and every single issue. Muhaddisun have talked about, the experts on hadith have talked about this hadith, that this is a weak hadith. Allama Tabarani rahmatullah alayhi is a well-revered and respected scholar of Islam. He says each and every single clause of this hadith is substantiated and supported by Quranic verses and hadith. So we have to accept it as authentic information. So this human being, with, in his arrogance, who claims to have achieved so much progress, when we look at the social upheaval within the world, and we look at the moral degradation of the world, we have to say this guy hasn't really achieved anything. And let's look at another issue before I conclude my talk. An issue that affects the whole of human race, and that is the environment. That same progress, the industrial revolution that took place within the 20th century, which gave human beings so much by giving him the quantum revolution. Max Planck is a scientist to whom the quantum theory is attributed. Quantum revolution literally means that the human being had now conquered the atom, the neutron, the proton, the electron, etc. Now, Muslims were discussing the atom. If you look at the work by Abu Hafs Umar al-Nasafi, this was a great scholar of Islam, and one of his great works is the Sharh al-Aqaid al-Nasafi. Most probably taught in the Darul Ulooms here. There is a discourse on the atom. as part of a discussion on the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Tawal juz'u allazi la yatajazza, that particle, that particle which cannot be broken up. I said, Abu Hafs Umar al-Nasafi is 11th century scholar. Max Planck has attributed this theory at the beginning of 1905, beginning of the 20th century, that this great guy, Max Planck, those of you who are doing A-levels, I don't know what level you'd call it here, of physics, Max Planck, this quantum theory, human beings have the quantum theory now. They actually discovered that light travels in pockets of energy. That gave him control over the atom. The quantum revolution. Then we have the DNA revolution. That gave human being control over themselves, the human cell. Then we have the computer revolution. That gave this little chip. That now scientists are thinking, let's place it into this guy's arm. And eventually into his brain. Let's have some kind of a satellite station up there so we can actually monitor everybody's progress. This chip in the mobile phone, let's monitor his progress. Where is he going? Let's give him the service till card for the bank. Let's monitor, hey, where is he taking money out of? How much is he traveling? Electronic ID cards. These three are the main proponents of human progress as the human claims. The quantum theory, the DNA revolution, and the computer revolution. But what is the price of this progress? If we look at an environment, scientists are concerned about global warming. Everywhere you go, people are talking, it's too cold. It's too hot. It's not normally like this. I never used to need a sweater before. Weather patterns are changing. I mean, we heard in England they're having the greatest week ever since we left. Great sunshine. I mean, normally we get about 4 hours of sunshine. Weather patterns are changing throughout the globe. And scientists project that from 1990 to 2050, world global temperature will rise by 1.5 degrees to 2 degrees. You may think that is a very nominal figure, but let me tell you, 4,000 years ago when the ice age happened, when the ice actually melted, the temperature rise was only 2 degrees. So a very nominal rise in temperature can have the most greatest effect. Who heard of this term El Niño before? 10 years ago we never heard of it. Who had ever heard of such great floods in certain countries of the world? Or such great warm weather in certain areas of the world? This climatic change is referred to as global warming, which literally means that you have a layer around the earth known as the stratosphere. And its thickness is about 50 kilometers. And it's attributed to all this pollution that is rising up, the carbon monoxide, the gases, because of this industrial revolution, has created this stratosphere. And as a result of this, heat cannot escape from the earth. And that is creating global warming. So if we look at the areas of social upheaval, if you look at the area of moral degradation, or even if you look at the environment, these three areas, and match it what the human being is saying about his progress. What has been the consequences of this progress? On the one hand, he has forgotten the day of judgment. He is now wanting to play God. He is now wanting to mess around with human creation. That has given him the bloodiest part of this human civilization. If you read the work of William Durant, The History of Civilization, a historical work in 11 volumes. In fact, in this day and age, euthanasia has become a fashion. There are more civil suicides in this day and age than any part of human history. The age of progress. The fundamental reasoning behind this, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in this verse, كَلَّا بَلْتُكَذِّبُونَ بِالدِّينِ. Never mind the symptoms here. You have forgotten your creator, you have forgotten the day of judgment. On the subject of environment, on one occasion the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam murra bi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam janazah. A funeral prayer, deceased body was passed by the Prophet. The Prophet said, "Amustarihun, amustarahun, minhu." Is this person in comfort himself, or the people behind who are going to be left in this world, are they in comfort from him? قالوا يا رسول الله ما المستريح والمستراح منه. The companions inquired, "What do you mean? Is this person in comfort?" استراح من نصب الدنيا وأذاها. That this person, by departing from this world, he is free now from the tires and pain and painstaking efforts of this world. He is free now. He is in paradise. Isn't it? والمستراح منه يا رسول الله من هو. Who is this person from whom we are going to be relieved? He says, Al-Abdul Fajir. That wretched human being, استراح منه العباد والبلاد والأشجار والدواب. That wretched human being from whom not only human beings, but countries and territories, but also trees and plants and vegetation, and also animals are now comfort from. Because as a result of him, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was not giving human beings that rain they wanted for vegetation. Cattle did not receive that rain. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala habasa anil khalq al amtar. People are now discussing environment because of industrial gases. The hadith is telling us this the stoppage of rainwater, etc., is directly related with human action. His sins. Vegetation does not get that water. That cycle of photosynthesis cannot take place. Now territories, you have territories which are dry now. There's a drought upon drought. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, human actions are the greatest things that develop environment. So just to briefly summarize what I've said. In this century of so-called progress, this human being takes his chest out, lifts his neck up, and his most eloquent terms and words proudly says, "I have given the world this much progress." But when we actually analyze this progress and look at the social upheaval within the world, we look at the moral degradation within the world, and we look at the environment of the world, and there are other issues you could concentrate upon, you actually realize that this human being is not worthy to be called a human being. Imam Raghib al-Isfahani, the great Iranian Sunni scholar who wrote this great work, Mufradat al-Quran, he died in the year 503 or 1109 according to the Christian calendar. He says that the jahala, ignorance, salkhul insaniya anil khalq, it's the taking away of humanity from creation. Take humanity away from this human being, that is jahala. Look at the world today. With the claims of progress, he is appearing like a jahil, like an ignorant person, because he's forgotten Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in many a place Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala within the Quran says, "Your real destination is unto me." Do not forget that. As one poet says, that عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ. Take care of your soul. Nowadays people concentrate on cosmetic industry. It's worth billions. Look good, feel good. Nobody's worried about the inside. Now we have cosmetic industry too. This is a fake industry. A fake nose, a fake cheeks, or fat removed from here, and fat removed from the fake bodily parts here and there. And people admire it. Wow. It's a fake industry. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, don't look at the outside, look at the inside. Look at the inside. عَلَيْكَ بِالْرُوحِ. Take care of your soul. فَاسْتَكْمِلْ فَضَائِلَهَا. Seek to complete its virtues. فَإِنَّكَ بِالْرُوحِ لَا بِالْجَسَدِ إِنسَانُ. You are a human being by the fact that you have a soul inside you, and not by the fact that you have a human skeleton and a body. This is the teaching of Islam, to take care of the inside, because this inside is going to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And when that inside is told that you forgot me. Well, tukazibuna bid-din, you forgot the day of judgment. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help that person. As one poet says, the world would like to control you. The world would like to change you. There are pressures all around. The world would like to change you. There are pressures all around. You must decide just who you are, then firmly hold your ground. So be yourself. Don't allow the world to take control. Preserving your identity is life's most precious goal, and your identity is Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا حلالا وشفاء من كل داء وعملا متقبلا اللهم ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا كربا الا نفسته ولا دينا الا اديته ولا ميتا مسلما الا رحمته برحمتك يا حي يا قيوم نستغيث اللهم انا نسالك خير ما سالك نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منك نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم انت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين